Jeremiah 23, we'll start reading at verse 22 today. I know we read that one last week also, but that's where I need to start at. We'll read verses 23 through 32 to start with. 22, chapter 23, verses 22 through 32. Let's read verse 21 with that also. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Pray your blessings upon it. Pray that you would enlighten us, illuminate thy word for us, that we may see and understand the truth of thy word, and preach the truth of thy word, that it may bring glory unto you, our God. Now, Father, we pray that you would help us today as we try to feed your sheep. We pray, O Father, that you would feed your sheep. Lord Jesus, that you would feed your sheep this very day. Holy Spirit, that you might come down and fill us. Cause us to have great respect in this house where we meet to worship our God. Help us now, Lord, we pray. We ask your mercy upon us in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Did I eat it?
Did I drop it? I just forgot it.
My brethren, we have... Or I'll put this in the form of a question. Brethren, have we in America gone beyond repentance from our evil and ungodly ways to turn God's judgment on us as Israel did? Now, there was sort of a paragraph there. It says, brethren, have we in America gone beyond repentance to turn God's judgment on us as Israel did? In other words, have we gone too far to repent and expect God to turn His judgment from us. If God changes not, and it is sure and certain that He does not change, it appears we will not, as a nation, escape the judgment of the holy and the just God. Amen. We have failed in every way. We ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus have failed to keep His word ourselves. We have sinned a most grievous sin in not preaching and teaching His word to everyone we come in contact with, even our own children and grandchildren. We have doubted, been unsure of what to do when the scriptures are so plain. We have allowed and even believed for some time damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, 2 Peter 2 and 1. When we add anything, any tiny bit to the gospel, we teach another gospel. Things like accept Jesus as your personal Savior or make a decision for Christ, etc. What's the personal pronoun in those things? You. You make a decision for Christ. Or let you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Those philosophies and that kind of thinking puts you in control. And brethren, we are not in control of eternal life. God is. Those things and those things like them are damnable heresies, the Bible teaches. Before we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, let's talk a little about what is said here in Jeremiah 23. If they have stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, remember when you're reading this prophecy, and these words are Jeremiah prophesying and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." That's very important because you see how many times he repeats, "Thus saith the Lord," in this prophecy. He said, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" Well, he is a God at hand. He's also a God afar off. It changes nothing. This is the God who by the Spirit of God spake and said, when there was nothing but darkness and void upon the face of the deep, said, "Let there be light." And there was. This is that God. This is the true and the living God. And Jeremiah had been preaching to them the judgment of God that was going to come upon them because of their sins, and they would not hear him. "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" He is everywhere at all times, the omnipresent, omniscient God. The true and the living God. "I have heard what the prophets said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." Now, if you don't remember, over in Numbers chapter 16, is where that's how the Lord spoke to the prophets in that day. He said, "I will speak to my prophets in a vision, and I will give them a dream. I will show them dreams so that they would know the will and the word of God." Numbers 12 and verse 6. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Jeremiah said. Yea, they are prophets, or this is the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah is telling them, this is the word of the Lord. Not this other stuff. Not I have dreamed a dream. This is the word of God. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. 2 Timothy 3:13. I'm going to read that to you. You don't have to turn to it if you don't wish, but I'm going to have to read a little more than verse 13. The apostle is telling Timothy and those who this letter, epistle, is sent to, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So this has been going on since the beginning of time. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy they're going to increase. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He knew and had prophecy revealed to him that the Roman Catholics were coming. And they would deceive others as well as being deceived themselves. And not only them these days, not only Roman Catholics, but Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Charismatics and all the others who are preaching this evil things, and it is denying the Lord Jesus. Anytime you add any bit or take any bit from the gospel, you are denying the Lord Jesus. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now back to Jeremiah 23. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. It's in them, and they have lied, and they prophesy lies, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal or Baal. Now, what these lying prophets would do were no different than preachers today in modern day churches. What they would do, they said, I've had a dream, which meant from God. And the things that I'm about to tell you are from God. No different than preachers standing behind the sacred desk these days who will not preach the truth, but preach lies so that masses of people will come and hear them. And not just big preachers like Joel Osteen and Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and all the other idiots out there who people are listening to and being deceived by them, and they themselves have been deceived. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And that's what it is. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? That's what he's comparing these two to. He's comparing the prophet that has the word of God to the wheat because wheat was good for people. It fed them. It filled them. And that's what the Word of God does for God's people. It feeds them. They are illuminated. His Word is illuminated to them that they might see and be fed spiritually. And he's comparing these false prophets that have a dream. The prophet that hath the dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to wheat? The chaff is what's thrown into the fire and burned. It's of no use whatsoever. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? This is Jeremiah prophesying to the people. Thus saith the Lord. And like a hammer that breaketh rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, when he hadn't said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Their lightness. That means their frivolity, their nothingness. The lies that they are telling are not food for my people. They are not helpful to my people. They are causing them to err, and they're trying to cause them to forget my name. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So neither the prophets are going to endure, those false prophets that are preaching lies and saying, I have a dream. And neither are the people that's listening to them. They should be comparing what the true prophets of God are saying, and the false prophets of themselves, the deceitful, who are deceiving the people, comparing that to the Word of God to see what is true and what is not. Now, I want to change gears here a little bit, and we're going to Hebrews chapter 10 before we go on to verse 33, which is very important. From 33 to 40, it's hard to be understood if you don't know what he's talking about here when he says, and when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? You have to understand what the Lord is saying here and what Jeremiah is saying about these false prophets. And about the people, not just the false prophet, but about the people also. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll start reading at verse 19. Won't have time to go through all of this. Chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You remember the Old Testament and how that the priest had to prepare themselves to come before the people to read the scriptures, and not only that, but to go into the holy place and the holy of holies where God was. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. This is new way. It's not the old way that the priest had to do. Do you know they had to wash their clothes And before they could come before the people to read the scriptures and before they could go into the Holy of Holies, they had to, not only themselves did they wash holy in a tub of water, they had to wash them clothes also. Their clothes had to be pure. They had to be pure. They had to be clean. And he says, now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Through his flesh he has shed his blood and offered himself a sacrifice for our sins, and has the song that we sang, "Are you washed in the blood?" That's the only way to be clean and pure, so that we might come into the holiest of holies before the Father. Now we ought to think about those things when we come to enter into the holiest of holies, where the Father God is, to offer up our petitions and our prayers and to worship Him in prayer. And to worship Him, period. In preaching, in singing. And even mentioning His name ought to be done with the greatest of respect. And having a high priest over the house of God, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we are all priests, all believers, all true believers are priests that are able to enter into the holiest of holies and come before God the Father to ask our petitions of Him. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now these are the things that we are to remember when we come before God to pray and to ask our petitions for this nation, for each other, for ourselves, for our family, for our children, our grandchildren, and all the things, is how that we're able to do that. We're to remember those things. It's like coming before the Lord's table to take the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to take the wine, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and eat of Him. Let us draw near with a true heart, being washed in the blood. Let's wash ourselves. Let's cleanse ourselves before we come, body and soul. In other words, let's live a life such that we are clean. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. Our bodies washed with pure water. The Holy Spirit is many times referred to as pure water. Let's wash ourselves with the Spirit of the living God, our bodies, and prepare ourselves to draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, not doubting. And because this damnable heresies that have been taught in this nation now, and us being a people who allowed Arminianism to take over this country, and us sit by and say nothing about it, most of us were raised by Arminianism. And didn't know any better until we read the scriptures more fully. Until that the things that you heard wasn't was what you were reading in the scriptures. And so we doubted. And we were unsure. In full assurance of faith, knowing that what we believe is the will and the ways of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And now people don't believe the Word of God anymore. It's been demonized. It's been done everything to by people standing behind the sacred desk. It's been made frivolous. That all you've got to do is be able to persuade people to come down the aisle. That's not the Holy Ghost. And so the Word of God is like it was by the Pharisees in their day. It's become of non-effect. Better to go by traditions. That's what the Pharisee says. Our priests and our prophets have been given dreams and visions and messages from God. And made the Word of God of none effect. Let's go by what they say instead of what the Word of God says. And we've allowed this because we didn't want to offend anybody. Look what we've come to because of it. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3, he says. Fight for the faith. I'm not talking about physically going out and beating up stupid preachers that lie and preach lies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about boldly with your speech. Everywhere you go, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Let us hold fast our profession of hope without wavering. Not one iota. It doesn't matter where you are. Walmart. In your house. Down the street, at your neighbors, it doesn't matter. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Without wavering. Oh, it will make you very unpopular. Why do you think we read what we did over there in 2 Timothy? Why do you think we read that? Out of all the things that Paul went through, just because he was unwavering. And all the apostles, because they would not tolerate people to say things contrary to what the Scripture says and what was delivered to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they delivered unto us. And it's been thrown away. It will not make you popular today. It will make you very unpopular. And people will hate you for it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. By what the Scripture says. Such as, not forsaking yourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means encouraging one another, telling one another, drawing one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? That final day when you're going to draw your last breath and stand before God. That day when the Lord Jesus splits the eastern skies and judgment day is here. As you see the day approaching. Well, people don't even believe that anymore. They don't believe the Lord Jesus is coming again. You can tell by the way they live. A fellow that's dying knows he's dying. Somebody told me still cursing God, GD, and MF, and talking about vulgar and filthy, vulgar trash. knowing he's dying. Guess what? He cannot see. He is spiritually dead, and his conscience has been seared as with a hot iron, the Bible says. And he cannot see. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now look, there's people taking that verse of Scripture and made it into a whole lot more than it's saying. It's like a Scripture that me and Pappy and Mark was talking about this week over in Isaiah, I think it's 16, about Lucifer. I got to thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, I had to go back and read. It's easy to take that couple of verses of Scripture there and take it all out of proportion. Do you know that nowhere in the Scripture is Lucifer called? Is Satan called Lucifer? Nowhere in the Scriptures. That verse there in Isaiah where he's talking about, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning, I believe it says. He's not talking about Satan. Now there may be an allusion to Satan there. There may be an allusion to when Satan fell from heaven. But if you go read the whole chapter, you'll find out real quick he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar saw himself as, the son of the morning. That he is, would raise his throne up above God's. And he would be as God. Because he was the king of all the earth. He ruled everything and everywhere he went. He wiped it out and either killed them, hauled them off captives, or they paid tribute to him and he taxed the dog out of them, sort of like our government does today. We're paying tribute to them in order to keep our freedom. So what? So called. Makes me sick to my stomach. Anyway, don't take this verse 26 out of proportion. Just read the whole thing. Read the whole thing and you get a better understanding. For if we sin willfully, well, we know that's not talking about one sin. Or even vulgar sins. Or even immoral sins. It's talking about a life course of sinning. And not just immoral sins. Not that kind of sin. Let's just read it. You'll kind of put the whole thing together here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. No. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Let's stop there just a second. He's not talking about daily sacrifices from the priest. Even though at Christ's death, those sacrifices were to cease. And if the Jews had had any sense whatsoever, it would have ceased. But they continued on. How long did they continue on those daily sacrifices? Till the Lord come back. They continued them till he come back 70 years later and wiped Jerusalem off the face of the earth, destroyed the temple, and killed everybody that was in it except what they hauled away. Because Christ had already warned his people, get out. Get out of Jerusalem. The Romans is coming. And that was the return of Christ to bring judgment upon them Jews in Jerusalem that cried out, crucify him! And called him a devil. And everything else that they did to him. Ain't offered none since. And Jerusalem has never been the same since. there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, and you'll get a better understanding. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, not the people of God, the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now we get a little better picture. He's not talking about a sin or a vulgar sins or immoral sins or any of those. Get what he says. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. And in other words, they're preaching another gospel. Not Jesus saves. But let me persuade you to come on down the aisle. They're preaching another gospel. It's those people that he's talking about. And not just preachers. But over in Jeremiah, you remember what God said? And God says, I change not. And what did he say? The prophets, the priests, and the people that do this. Just wait till we get on to 33 through 40. It just kind of does like this. It brings it all together. If you just read the whole thing and look up the meaning of those words, like burden, what was they talking about? Well, here, you find out who he's talking about. Those people who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. In other words, they heard the truth. The truth was preached to them. And then they turned from the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't believe that Jesus was the only Savior or a Savior at all anymore, like they do today. Oh, they'll tell you they do. Say, oh yeah, believe Jesus is Savior. But they don't live like they believe Jesus is Savior, and they don't preach like they believe Jesus is Savior. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's the Spirit of God that must birth a man and make him alive. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is God that calls his people. It is God that saves his people, and those that he saves will never, ever trodden underfoot the Son of God or count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. Won't do it. But I'm telling you, you better pay attention. Them preachers that are preaching another gospel, accept Jesus and make a decision for Christ and all such trash as that, and not the Spirit of God's going to call you one day, but suckering them in to come down the aisle and repeat a sinner's prayer so that they can get more tithe and they can secure their baptisms and they can secure their careers. Get more masses to come and hear them. The Bible calls it covetousness. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah, the Lord gonna judge his people. His people. but not at the end. Not at the end. Our judgments, our punishments come now. Our whippings and our discipline comes now. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions. After you were, what? After you were suckered down the aisle and accepted Jesus or made a decision for Christ? No. After you were illuminated. Look up that word. It means just that. You were enlightened. You were given life. And light that you might see yourself a sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Call to remembrance. Why does he tell them to do that? But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were eliminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you become companions of them who were so used. In other words, they helped Paul and they helped others that were being, and because they did, they were routed. They were stolen from. They were kicked out of the synagogues. They were mistreated and persecuted and afflicted because of what they did and how they lived after they were illuminated with the light from heaven. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They called it spoiling. They stole their goods. They ravaged them. Took their stuff away. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He's telling his people. The apostle here is telling them, call to remembrance the former days. When you were filled with the Spirit of God, right after you were illuminated with light to see yourself a sinner in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior. Remember those days. And cast not away therefore your confidence. That means exactly what it says, your confidence. Which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, great rewards. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't lose your confidence in God's word and the promises. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's just good stuff. I don't care what you say. Habakkuk 2:3. Habakkuk prophesied, for this vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Meaning the coming of the Messiah. And even the second coming of the Messiah. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Matthew chapter 11 there, John the Baptist was in prison and sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus a question. And they come to Jesus and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Even John. Even John the Baptist, who baptized the Lord Jesus, now in prison, about to be beheaded, and would be shortly, shortly, before Christ got to him, would be beheaded. Even John and his disciples. Are you him? Are you that prophet that Moses said should come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? He was in prison. And that's the reason the apostle says, don't cast away your confidence. It's going to happen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. It's like James talks about waiting and having patience for the coming of the Son of God. He said farmers do it. He said they plant, they plow and they sow and they till. And then they have to wait for the latter, for the first rain and then the latter rain before they see their crops come up. James said, just be patient. It's coming. It's going to come exactly the way the Lord Jesus said it was going to come, and He's coming again the second time. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now that's still part of the prophecy. Now the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That, and people take that verse and try to make it sound like, well, see, you can have faith in it. No, you can't. Read the next verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, there's a believing that's not to the saving of the soul. There's a believing up here, nominally, historically, there is a believing that when you come down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and repeat the sinner's prayer, that you're forevermore saved. That's not to the saving of the soul. You must be born from above. You people out there in sermon audio world listening to this, you must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God. And He will save your soul for everlasting. And you'll never be ashamed. You may have doubts and you may have fears. But remember, He is nigh thee. Even in your heart and in your soul, He is nigh thee. Just call on Him. Will He keep you from having afflictions and persecutions? No. You promised them. He had them. The apostles had them, and every believer's had them from the beginning of time until the last day when Jesus splits the eastern skies. They're going to have them. We're called unto them, and we will bear them with much grace. We'll stop there for today, and we'll go back to Jeremiah next week. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings you bestowed on us each day.